Sinners must be born again if they are to enter into the kingdom of God, to have eternal life. The Son of God was sent into the world to bring that life, not to condemn the world, but to save the world. And those who believe on the Son have eternal life. While those who do not believe, Jesus says, stand condemned under judgment already. Now, as Jesus concludes his conversation with Nicodemus about these things, he deals with the question of why people do not believe. Why do they choose error rather than truth? Believing in Christ seems to be such an easy thing, such a simple thing. Why won't sinners trust Christ that they might have eternal life? Jesus says in verse 19, this is the condemnation. God's judgment is not an arbitrary sentence that has been imposed upon sinners, but rather it is the working out of a moral law. Here is the reason. Here is the explanation. Here is the understanding. Believers stand under judgment because the light has come into the world, first off. Now, many would understand light in different ways, but there is the literal sense, and that is sunshine in contrast to the night. A lot of evil takes place in the night. It's because the physical, literal darkness helps to hide sin. And of course, this is typical of the figurative sense of light. Light standing for good in contrast to the darkness of evil. Now, in this sense, the scriptures tell us that Christ is the light. And note that there is a definite article before light. The light has come into the world. It's Jesus Christ himself who is the light. We saw back in John chapter 1, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. Also in John 8:12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He shows forth the glories and the perfections of God the Father. He alone is sinless. He alone is perfect in goodness and absolute in holiness. And it is Jesus Christ who is truth and light. And he is the one who gives to us and reveals to us the mind of God himself. This light and this truth also radiates from other places and did so even before Christ. For example, the scriptures, the word of God is light. As the writer of Proverbs says in 6:23, the commandment of God is a lamp and the law is a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. The Bible, the Word of God, is truth, and it is light. The Gospel is light. It shows forth Jesus Christ. It shows forth truth. 2 Corinthians 4:4, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. The gospel of Jesus Christ is truth and light. Now, flowing from this, God's people, Christians, are to be light as well. Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 5 to his disciples, to Christians, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven." The light from God has come into the world. And how has the world responded? Jesus says, men love darkness rather than the light. The world loved darkness and rejected the light. They did so with Christ. They rejected his testimony and his person, eventually killing him. In fact, if you think about it, the people in darkness hated and murdered the only good man to ever live, just as they did God's prophets before him. They rejected moral light, goodness, truth, and instead embraced error and moral darkness. And we wonder, why would they do that? Solomon characterizes darkness as the way of evil men. Proverbs 2:13, "From those who leave the paths of uprightness," or light, "to walk in the ways of darkness." Proverbs 4:19, "The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble." So we come to the New Testament, we read the Apostle Paul, who uses darkness as a synonym for evil. So he writes in Romans 13:12, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Similar way in Ephesians 5:11, he says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." And in Ephesians 6:12, he says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Jesus says this is their condemnation. Men loved darkness rather than the light. And it's hard for us to understand, isn't it? How can people prefer evil to the good and to the right? The false over the truth. How can they prefer Satan and the things of darkness over Christ? But that's exactly what was going on in Jesus' day. All around him, the Jewish leaders loved the legalism of their law. They loved their own efforts at self-righteousness and good works, and it fed their pride. The Gentiles loved their superstitious worship of idols and pagan gods and the immorality that went with it. And still today, sinners of the world over love their sin. They do not want light upon their lives. It said that an architect once came to Plato and offered to build him a house in which you could not see into any of the rooms. Plato responded, well, I'll give you double the money to build a house where you can see into every room. Sinners want windowless rooms. Rooms that no one can see into, that are hidden in the darkness. All around us, creation witnesses of the light. Witnesses of the Creator Himself. In fact, Scripture says the witness is so strong and clear that sinners who reject the light and embrace darkness are without excuse. What is the reason that sinners will not receive the light of God? Why? It's not because of intellectual issues. It's not because of education. It's not because the gospel was not presented with enough force. Jesus says that it's because they have hearts that love sin, that love darkness. They will not forsake their sin. They will not forsake their evil because they love it. And determined to hang on to all the works of darkness. And so Jesus says in John 5:40, you are not willing to come to me that you might have life. Bishop J.C. Ryle wrote this, there are very few errors and false doctrines of which the beginning may not be traced up to unsound views about the corruption of human nature. Putting it another way, the unbeliever is spiritually dead in sin and unable to please God. Loving the darkness that enslaves them and hating the light that brings life. This depravity of the heart and of the soul is a foundational doctrine in Scripture. If you miss on this, as many do, it will corrupt your whole understanding of biblical truth. Bishop Ryle was absolutely correct. The depravity of man, if you will, is a foundational and critical doctrine to understanding the gospel. In fact, the Westminster Confession of Faith says this, from this original corruption, whereby we are utterly indisposed, disabled, and made opposite to all good, wholly inclined to all evil, do proceed all actual transgressions. Our nature is corrupt, and it brings corrupt affections. Then Jesus adds, they love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Where deeds is simply the word for works. Their activities. It's perhaps interesting to note here that evil is not a word for moral evil. It is rather something that is bad or worthless, sometimes even wicked. So what are the evil deeds? Well, we know what they are. They're murder and they're robbery and they're adultery. Yet, remember, Jesus is talking to a ruler of Israel, a religious expert in the law of God. He is a moral man who has faithfully been keeping the law. And yet Jesus is including Nicodemus in this description. In this regard, it's interesting to note that the moral religious leaders of Israel showed their true nature, showed their love for the darkness just a little while later. When their authority and when their power were threatened by Christ, what did they do then? These religious and moral people actively sought to murder Jesus. And eventually, working through the Roman government, they accomplished it. What Jesus is saying is that a person's attitude toward Him, the light of the world, truth itself, infallibly reveals a person's innermost moral and spiritual condition. The attitude toward Christ reveals the heart. If you have no love for Jesus Christ, if you see nothing lovely in the Savior, you have condemned yourself and shown yourself to be a lover of darkness, a lover of evil rather than of light. So there's condemnation because there is an affection for sin, for darkness rather than for light. But there is also condemnation because they actively hate the light. Verse 20, everyone practicing evil hates the light. So it's not just ignoring the light. There is an animosity toward the light, a desire to be rid of the light. The light of Christ, of truth, is hated because Christ shows sinners for what they are. And that's the last thing that sinners want. They want the concealing darkness. And they hate the light that reveals the reality. They want rooms without windows. A person's animosity toward Jesus Christ reveals truth about their heart. Someone who hates the light reveals the darkness of his own heart. A historical example of this, and there are many, perhaps you've heard of St. Bartholomew's Day Massacre. The date is August 24th, 1572. The political and the religious leaders of France, including the king, killed thousands of Protestants in the city of Paris, all in the name of God. But that didn't end it. In fact, they went on for 26 years, killing every Reformed Christian that they could find. And it spread from there to any that did not hoe the party line. Ultimately, it produced a secular France that produced the horrors of the French Revolution. And in the French Revolution, they killed all Christians of every stripe, of whatever faith. The darkness hates the light. And sinners still hate the light. We see the hatred for the light and the increasing attacks on Christianity from the secularists throughout the West today. We see it in institutions of higher learning taking a strong anti-Christian stance. And it seems to be open season for schools and the media and politicians on Orthodox Christianity, on the gospel, on the light, on the Bible. It's interesting, Satan, we're told in Scripture, presents himself as an angel of light. Those that are in darkness say that they are in the light. And we see this in false religions. For example, the Muslims claim their faith is truth and light, and yet the fruit of this religion is darkness, murder, lies, oppression, wherever they have a free rein. We should not be surprised by rejection and mockery and persecution of Christians. It's the world's attitude toward the light. If you're being salt and light in the world of darkness, expect to be hated and rejected just as your Lord, the light, was hated. But why do sinners hate the light? Why do they hate the only thing that can free them from their slavery to sin? It's because error hates truth, and the light exposes their sin, which they love. Think of drug addicts who love their drug more than life itself. Amy Winehouse, a talented singer, many awards, including 5 Grammy Awards. She could not leave alcohol and drugs alone. She went to rehab to none effect. In fact, one of her most famous songs is entitled Rehab. And her response to going to rehab is, no, no, no. I do not know Amy Winehouse's spiritual condition. But she was drawn to the darkness, and she loved it more than light. And she died at the age of 28 of alcohol poisoning. Paul says that the reason we love the darkness is that we're dead in trespasses and sins. The unbeliever is spiritually dead and alienated from God. So we read in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Those who are outside of Jesus Christ are in darkness, and they love it. They are swimming, if you will, in the sewer, and they think it is paradise, and they do not want to get out. In contrast, verse 21, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Those who are in Christ, those who have believed on the Son, walk in the light and produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus says in Matthew 7:20, therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. In this regard, we should think about Galatians chapter 5, where Paul talks about the fruit of darkness. And he gives a long list that he refers to as the lusts of the flesh, the product of darkness in our lives. And then he lists the fruit of the Spirit. That is, the fruit that comes from walking in the light: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You know, we may not be perfect Christians, and we're often charged with hypocrisy because we fail to be perfect and sinless. But what Jesus is saying is that those who have been born from above by the Spirit of God, instead of loving and seeking the darkness, instead of loving sin, the people of God seek the light and long to obey our God. Years ago, I had a midweek speaking engagement in northern Montana. And a friend offered to fly us up in his plane so that we could run up and speak and come right back and get on with the things that needed to be done. Well, it worked out, and so we went, and I spoke in the evening service there. And then late at night, we flew back south. Well, my friend was not instrument rated. And as we flew home, we flew into heavy snow clouds and snow. And soon we could not see the ground, we could not see the stars, and we lost sense of direction. Well, he said, we can't go on, and he turned around before we got too deep into trouble, and we headed back north. And it was pitch black. Occasional flashes of strobe lights and an occasional light from some ranch. But it was dark. Suddenly we hit a bird. It knocked out a window. Some of the bird went in on the engine and began to cook. And the odor of burning feathers filled the cabin. And we were tense, fearful, and prayerful. Then through that darkness, suddenly we saw the lights of Malta. And we were flooded with a sense of relief and joy, and our spirits lifted. And we altered our course and headed straight for the light. That is how it is with the believer. There is a hate for the darkness, and there is a longing for and a desire of the light. We seek it, we want it, and we head for it. There's a hungering and a thirsting for righteousness. As the psalmist put it, my soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Christians love God's word, which is light and truth. Love God's people, imperfections and all. Love the church, which is the pillar and ground of truth, Paul says. And yes, we even love God's commandments. It's not to say there aren't times we are attracted to sin. As Christians, we do sin inadvertently. We sin consistently. And sometimes, yes, we even sin willfully. And we will not have complete victory over the darkness until eternity. But the true believer, the children of light, loves the light, longs for it, and desires to please the Savior. Our true attitude toward the light is shown by our lives, Jesus says, by our deeds. Let me illustrate with some carpenters building a house. Imagine a contractor who has two young apprentice carpenters working for him on a building project. Mike is self-confident and ignores direction. He does his work, but he often does it wrong and he does it poorly. Well, Bill listens to instructions and then seeks to follow those instructions. And after a while, Mike becomes elusive and skedaddles every time the boss comes around. Bill seeks him out and desires help and suggestions. Eventually, it turns out Mike has actually not been building on the house at all, but has been constructing doghouses with the building materials from the house and selling them on the side. While Bill continues to work building the house according to the blueprints and the boss's directions to the best of his ability. Our world is filled with Mikes. People who make a pretense of honoring and serving God, of seeking God, of desiring the truth, but in reality they are serving themselves. And they are doing so with the tools and materials that belong to God, building their own kingdom, kingdom of darkness, rather than of light. The reality, Jesus says, is that they do not love the light. And in complete disregard for God's word, they seek their own ends and pleasures and profits and flee from the presence of the light and of truth whenever it is near, preferring instead moral and spiritual darkness. But true believers like Bill desire the light of God's presence. Desire to obey the Lord. Desire to worship. Desire God's word. Desire to bring their lives into conformity with the light. To love and serve their Master, Jesus Christ. And to bring Him honor and glory. What about you this morning? Are you living your life in the light? Or in the darkness? Do you love the light? Or do you love the darkness? Jesus' warning, this is the condemnation. Men love darkness rather than light. Shall we pray?